The Times Union recently reported on a unique paleontological find in Greene County, the fossilized remains of the world's first known forest. So we wanted to learn more about the site and New York's paleontological resources more broadly. And to do that, we're checking in with Dr. Lisa Amati, the state paleontologist and curator of paleontology for the New York State Museum. Welcome to the show, Dr. Amati.
Thank you.
So for starters, can you explain what's been found at the former quarry site in Greene County in terms of the actual remains and how old they are?
Sure. Actually, that quarry has been an important site for research in fossil plants since the late 1960s. There was a series of four papers written describing eight different types of plants from that locality. And then more recently in 2008, the oldest known liverwort fossil was found before the big discovery of the new world's oldest fossil forest.
And what is exactly a fossil forest, and how old are we talking about here?
It's somewhere around 390 million years old, plus or minus 3 or 4 million years. So it's difficult to put an exact number on it. We know how old it is relative to other fossil forests, such as the one at Gilboa, and we know that it's 3 to 4 million years older than the Gilboa forest, because the layer of rocks that it's found in is found below the layer of rocks that the Gilboa forest is found in.
And when we're talking about the remains of a forest that's 390 million years old, what are we talking about here? Is it simply a tree-like thing that's carved out of rocks, or is it something that's been, I guess for lack of a better word, fossilized now? What do we mean?
Well, this forest is actually very interesting. It was discovered in 2009 by a New York State Museum scientist named Dr. Chuck Verstraten, and what he saw was this shallow groove on the quarry floor, and he thought, what could that be? And they traced that shallow groove up to a bunch of other shallow grooves radiating out from a central area and realized that those were the traces of roots from a tree. And then they discovered that there were a bunch of other roots from a bunch of other trees at that locality. And there are actually two different types of tree roots that are found. So this one's interesting because you're only seeing the floor of the forest. You're not seeing the actual stumps or trunks or foliage or anything. You're seeing the floor of the forest and where those roots and the bases of the trees were located.
Is it common to find this type of remains in New York? I mean, you mentioned the nearby Gilboa site, so are we just ripe with fossilized forests in New York?
Well, we're lucky because we have rocks of the correct age, and those rocks were formed on land. So it's kind of unique that New York has two of the world's oldest fossil forests here. And I think it's just because we have rocks of the correct age from the correct type of land area. And we have people who are out there studying them. So there could be other forests in other places, but if you don't have people out in the field looking for fossils, they're going to be missed.
Does New York have a lot of people out looking around for fossils, whether they're academics with private universities and colleges or the state's own paleontologists like yourself?
We do have a number of people even from outside the country who come to New York to study our fossils, because we have fossils of nearly every type preserved in New York, and we've been studying them since the early 1800s. So New York has been our center of paleontological research for a long time.
In Greene County, there's an effort now to preserve their find. Why is this worth our time and energy?
It's worth our time because it gives us a glimpse into what some of the earliest forests look like. For example, plants had evolved before this time, but they were very small, just little plants, and then they slowly started getting larger. And the preservation of full-sized trees and their association with each other on this forest floor gives us an idea of the forest community and what the entire forest would have looked like. It's not just you know, one chunk of leaf or something like that. It shows us what the whole forest would have looked like.
So in terms of preserving the find in Greene County, what's actually involved with that? Is it simply running some caution tape in a big circle, or is it more intensive than that?
The most important thing is that we keep people from coming in and destroying the site, either inadvertently or intentionally. People riding ATVs over the forest floor could destroy the traces of the roots. Or people coming in and wanting a souvenir and taking a piece of it away with them so that they can have it on their mantelpiece. That's another problem that has to be addressed. So we really need security. And then the educational aspect of it is very broad. There are lots of different ways we can use that to educate kids and adults about the history of life on Earth.
So would you envision this as some sort of educational resource in the future where, like you say, kids and adults can visit and learn more about the history of New York?
Absolutely, and it's a perfect place to do it because there are so many different types of plants that have been found there, and the forest floor itself is pretty remarkable to look at. So it's something that is impressive even to somebody who is not well-versed in paleontology. It looks cool, and that gives you the opening to do educational activities with it.
Now, that looking cool threshold, are you kind of a soft touch on this, or would the general public also think it looks cool?
I think the general public would also be pretty impressed by what they have there.
So then, as curator of paleontology for the New York State Museum, as well as the state paleontologist, what do you see as the state's role in preserving a site like this? Should the state, say, be leading the charge in terms of funding and direction, or should this be the domain of private enterprises?
I feel like this is the domain of the town. The town has the most to gain from preserving this site. And of course, we'll do whatever we're asked to do to try to assist them, but it's not really our place to step in and take over. The town is doing a fantastic job of working on getting grants and doing studies and asking people for input. They're just doing an amazing job. So we're here just as a support entity.
Have the town officials in Greene County reached out to you and asked for any assistance or guidance in this process so far?
So far, we've just been providing information to them.
What kind of questions have they had asked for you?
They're asking things like, what do we think we need to do to preserve the rocks? And hopefully they'll be asking us about educational opportunities and educational pamphlets or exercises or activities that could be created to go along with the fossil locality.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Dr. Lisa Amati, the state paleontologist and curator of paleontology at the New York State Museum. So when you're not serving as an advisor to these kind of amazing finds, what does your day job consist of as the state's paleontologist?
Well, we have close to a million fossils in our paleontology collection, and those need to be cared for. If you have a million fossils, it's really hard to take care of them all at once. It's a continuous process of updating the way that they're stored. I also answer questions from the public and do my own research. I actually study trilobites.
How did you decide to study trilobites? And just for the listeners, because obviously I know, but what is a trilobite?
A trilobite is a type of animal that lived longer than the dinosaurs, but entirely before the dinosaurs. So they evolved, lived, and died before the dinosaurs came around, but lived longer than they did. They look kind of like a weird cockroach or horseshoe crab, maybe. They look a little bit like that. And they're very, very abundant in New York. So it's something I enjoy studying because you can get an idea of a whole group of organisms and how they interacted together because they're so abundant.
Do you think Steven Spielberg made a mistake by making a movie about dinosaurs and not trilobites?
Absolutely. Trilobites would make a fantastic movie.
And I assume Dr. Lisa Amati would be the star of that film?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Gotcha. Well, Is it just you in terms of the New York State paleontological resources, or do you have any sort of team and personnel to help you? Because, like you said, 1 million fossils, that's pretty time-consuming.
Oh, we absolutely have a team that works on the fossils. We have volunteers who come in and help us, and we partner with people from different universities and do research with them. So it's always a team effort.
So your other hat is curator of paleontology for the New York State Museum. Would you like to put a plug in for the paleontological exhibits or resources at the State Museum if people wanted to come visit?
I think one of our most interesting exhibits that we have right now is the Ice Age exhibit, where you can learn about the Ice Ages, the geology, and how we interpret what happened during the Ice Ages, and see some really cool animals from that time period that lived in New York State. Things like mastodons and giant beavers and beluga whales and all sorts of really interesting animals that lived here at that time.
And do you have a favorite paleontologist of all time?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. I would say probably Winifred Goldring.
Because?
She studied the Gilboa fossil forest in the 1920s and later became the first female state paleontologist of New York. And I admire her because she was able to conduct rigorous scientific research, but was able to do it as a woman in the 1920s and 30s when it was a little more difficult to get positions like that for us.
Is paleontology still a boys' club, either in New York or more broadly?
Not so much anymore.
Well, and then I guess moving from the real to the surreal, do you have a favorite fictional paleontologist?
A favorite fictional paleontologist?
I mean, there's some good ones. Ross Geller in Friends. You have Ellie Sadler and Alan Grant in Jurassic Park. I mean, that's the only three I could come up with. But
I really did like Dr. Sadler in Jurassic Park. I thought she really gave the best interpretation of what a paleontologist is like. For example, if a paleobotanist thought that they could dig in a pile of dinosaur poop to learn about the fossil plants, we'd do it.
We've been speaking with Dr. Lisa Amati. She is the state paleontologist and curator of paleontology for the New York State Museum. Dr. Amati, thank you so much for making the time. This has been really interesting and a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.